Health back after like a 3-week hiatus. Thomas, Tim, and Cody. And we got Johnny back on the show.
Special guest is back.
Johnny's here.
Yo, yo.
So it's been a while.
It's been longer than 3 weeks, hasn't it?
It's been 3 weeks.
It's been like 3 weeks.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I really was just
like eternity.
January 20th was the last podcast we put up.
And Johnny hadn't been here since...
Before December. The new year, right?
Yeah.
December.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
So we got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, so welcome back, Johnny.
Thank you. Good to be back in the basement.
In the cold basement.
We need to put up pictures on your website because we need a before and after of Cody's hair.
Oh. This isn't even like combed out. This is like a mess. It's like a shower didn't do anything with it.
We need to have a Cody's hair picture and a Tim's beard picture.
I haven't shaved for 2 months.
I know.
The mustache, though? Did you shave that?
Oh, yeah. I don't do mustache. No, I can't do it.
Like, it just doesn't grow?
No, no. It grows. I don't like the feel of it.
It's like you're, like, the only person born naturally Amish.
No. It grows pretty fast. I do shave that down.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about the other day. But no, I haven't cut the top of my hair since, like, Halloween. Like, it's just been going.
But yet you still go to the barber.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm a mustache man.
What are you talking about? I do that myself. I don't have to pay somebody to shave that down.
Don't shave. And like, we'll say in June, let's see what's longer, your beard or the top of my head.
No.
What?
Anyways.
All right, so what's new in the last 3 weeks? Everybody's been up to
Tim's been losing weight still.
Yep.
How much more are you down?
Let's see. Since the last, I'm just looking at it here. Since the last podcast, 8 pounds.
Still going. Have you been exactly on point with everything in the last 3 weeks, or have you had some other stuff going on that has led you maybe off the straight line?
No, yeah, I have been off the line for a little bit. You know, life happens. Why do you think we haven't done podcasts? Working 3 jobs, pushing snow. Just schedules didn't meet up, and when you're pushing snow, you can't eat paleo. You can't eat... There's no sleep, yeah.
Whatever's in the car.
Yeah, and missing workouts and all that good. And I will not walk outside in 12-degree weather.
So how do you think you've still been able to lose weight?
Well, when I'm not doing that stuff and when I'm home, I eat right when I'm at home. And then just working out as much as I still possibly can and just portion control, you know, not doing the fast food stuff. I mean, even though I was out in the truck, I didn't do fast food. Like, I had a salad one night from Sheets, which is a local gas station here. You know, just healthier alternatives.
Still making the right decisions.
Yeah,
for
as best as you
part,
can.
As best as you can.
Yeah. So.
Cool deal.
Like, there was a week there I didn't lose anything, and I was kind of bummed, but.
But you're still on track.
Yeah. I'm at, what, 74.8 pounds since total. September 3rd. Jeez.
Pretty impressive.
Yep.
Awesome. So, but the reason why I wanted to bring that up is you had a week or so where you didn't lose much,
mm-hmm.
but you still have lost 8 pounds. Some people hit those speed bumps and they like fall off the rail completely.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean?
And I probably would have a while back, but this time I'm just, I don't know, like I was telling you yesterday in the office, something's different this time. Something, I'm just motivated. Not necessarily motivated that it has to be super fast, but just motivated to be on track and be healthy and. It's all the compliments, too. Like, it was funny. I was at work, and I work right beside a State Farm office, and I never talk to those dudes. But they see, you know, we see each other mm-hmm. walking it out, and he stopped me today in 14-degree weather outside.
And you're like, dude, I can't talk right now.
To say, how much weight have you lost? And I told him, he's like, that's so awesome. I can really tell on you.
Cool. Stick so, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to throw in there?
No.
That's it. Happy. And we're going to chow down on some pizza tonight, right?
Yeah, but you can do that every once. That's what I try to... You can do that every once in a while. You just don't make a habit of it.
I've spoken like a true professional.
It was donuts today in the gym.
Yeah, nothing wrong with donuts. Yeah. I've wanted to get a Crumpy's donut here lately,
it's
and I haven't.
It's Fossnuts on Tuesday.
I got you guys tried the donut of the month?
No, what is it?
So it's the His and Her donuts that they do every Valentine's Day.
I had these last year.
Yeah, it's the bacon maple or maple bacon glaze... For the guys, and then the chocolate raspberry for the girls, which is it's just like a regular donut filled with raspberry jelly.
We're going tonight
with chocolate.
Oh, we might have raspberry. To make a Crumpy's donut.
I'm making a run tonight.
It's awesome. It was like a religious experience eating that donut. Well, because I never liked jelly donuts.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta try it. And it was everything I hoped it'd be.
It's that place is going to be packed tonight. Yeah.
See, even I love
actually, Chili do you Donuts. See they actually put a second door?
Is it
on
done it. Already?
Yeah, they just finished it.
So you can filter out to so one side.
Filter out, just oh, okay. cycle through
instead nice. Of having to bump into each other.
Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
Crumpy's is you know they got like top 25 donuts to try on it was on BuzzFeed
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, they're featured that's in really GQ awesome. For the
really
for the peanut butter twist.
Yeah, he's.
I didn't know that.
I didn't yeah. know that either.
That's dope.
We got a legitimate donut shop.
So what's new with you, Thomas?
In the middle of a catalyst cycle slash my own tweak to it. I don't know what really it is. What's new? Don't have a kitchen. Haven't had one for the past 3 weeks. 3 weeks. We're going on a month. It's been 3 weeks. Next week will be a month. But to that point, we've done very well at maintaining what we should be doing. We eat at my in-laws, Sarah's parents' house. For lunch this week, we bought those big boxes of salad, bring pork chops or steaks or burgers, throw that on a salad, put some dressing on it for lunch. I have gone off the yogurt bandwagon, though. I eat a Greek yogurt every single morning with a banana and an orange. That's the other thing I've done. Blood oranges, you ever have one of those?
Yeah.
You ever have one of those?
Yeah.
Those and the Halo oranges, I bring those. So I'll eat like a banana, orange, Greek yogurt, and for breakfast because every morning
you
up at 5
like
o'clock.
Cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Come on. He's trying to bash me on my coffee intake, and it's no different than what it ever was before.
I just don't like coffee.
I love the smell of it.
I literally drink maybe 2 to 4 cups every day.
Have you tried the Bulletproof coffee yet?
Not with the butter, no. Okay. But I have tried it with coconut oil.
Okay.
Coconut oil doesn't mix as well.
Nope.
Would
I tried
you,
that
do you blend it, though?
I did not blend it when I tried
it. You
got
to blend it to emulsify it.
Does it taste better?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Because otherwise, the oil separates. So I do the butter and the coconut oil, melt that down. Then you pour the coffee in the blender, and then you put the melted fat in with that. And then you blend it, it emulsifies, and then it ends up just being creamy
really,
coffee.
Really delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't tried it yet, and we don't have a kitchen, so no blender.
A week and a half, man.
A week and a half. But we're doing pretty well without it. Still sticking to the program.
Cool. I think I'm doing awesome. Coconut oil, that little weak kick that I was on.
Were you just eating it straight?
No, because I really...
That stuff is good straight. I'm not going to lie.
Anytime
I
cook
spoon.
With it, I always just
it's
grab
not bad,
an extra
but,
spoon.
There was a couple of days where I was kind of looking at my the intake that I had, and I was like, everything's kind of low. So I stuck coconut oil in a protein shaker, and he's looking at me crazy while I'm in the office. He goes, what are these white chunks floating around?
Right.
And I was like, well, I put it in the microwave and kind of melted it. And then I was drinking, and it was just chunks
But when you put it with water, it cools back down.
Look, man, I wasn't thinking at the
He
moment.
Was just trying to
I was just
stuff.
Trying to. He just said he ate it straight. What's wrong with me, drinking it?
Trying to be some, protein shake alchemist. Get it to not separate.
You don't want
to
talk about protein shakes.
I know. Him and his non-flavored whey protein tonight. It's
disgusting thing.
Dead air.
Yeah. All right, so, Cody, what did you have for topic?
You just finished the catalyst cycle.
I did just finish the catalyst
cycle. Oh, yeah, what's up with
and
you?
My knees hurt like hell, and my quads are hella tight, but it was the 5-week front squat cycle, and now it's over. So I took this week off and then increased my front squat by 15 pounds.
That's pretty legit. That's 5 weeks.
5 weeks, 15 pounds is 3 pounds a week. That's kind of cool because a lot of people don't really think
That's
about that.
That's tough to do.
Yeah.
People don't really think about that. It's I'm trying to do this cycle, and then I want to get super strong. But if you look at incrementally what you've done in weeks – it's pretty legit. Anybody can do it. It's just a matter of being patient.
Oh, yeah. Depends on where you're at in your training, too.
Yeah, my hips started to close off. My knees got tight, and then my quads are just destroyed.
So then what's next?
It kind of snowballs into the topic. I'm going to start doing some gymnastics body stuff, and I'm going to start running again, even though I don't want to, and rowing and doing long, slow distance stuff. But in the afternoons, I was telling you, I was going to do some hypertrophy stuff, which is going to kind of play into what we're going to talk about.
Are you going to do it at the open or no?
No. I think we've already established that. None of us here are doing that.
I thought Johnny was gonna do it strict.
I was gonna do it strict, and then I was like, you know what?
I had to talk him off the edge.
Yeah,
because he was dead set on it. And I was like, you know how stupid this is gonna be?
Well, because I thought, well, I'll just do the whole thing strict because my strict chest to bar pull ups, I was getting down really fast. I was getting strict toes to bar down pretty fast. But I was thinking about just the amount of stress that I was under last year during the Open, where I would be, Monday was in the day I wasn't stressed out. Because Tuesday, I was, gearing up for it. Wednesday, it was my last rest day. Thursday would be, the night that they would announce it. I wouldn't be able to sleep that night. Friday, I would be practicing it. Saturday or Sunday, I would actually do it. One of those days, the next day, I may have to redo it. And it was like that for a straight month. And it was driving my wife,
five
Rachel,
weeks.
Crazy.
Yeah,
5 weeks, yeah. And so I was like, yeah, I just do not, like, I'm not that concerned with the competition this year that I would actually want to do it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That would have been funny, though, if you were this strict and still came in, like,
top 200, top 150.
That would have been funny as hell.
Can you do it and not care?
That's
can you just go say
it
and
no.
not care?
Like, but I'm not, yeah, I just can't, that's, I'm like all or nothing.
Well, then just
stuff.
The fact that you were going to attempt to do it strict was like not caring in a sense.
No, because I cared so much that I wanted to start doing things like correctly.
Because he does everything wrong.
Yeah. No, I was just getting tired of seeing, because like the problem that I have with so much kipping is when people learn kipping and they rely on it so much and it's become like such a big part of the sport that people don't take the step back and learn the foundations of like, well, here's why you need to learn strict first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to have your shoulder girdle set. You have to have the strength to be able to handle, because when you're coming off of a kip, like swinging off of a pull-up bar, the load that's on your shoulders, your basically your body weight magnified by 3 or 4,
right,
on your shoulder girdle. Most people don't have the strength to be able to do that. So watching people, you know, who are great at kipping, but you put them on, you know, a set of parallettes or rings and they can't do basic gymnastics maneuvers because they lack that actual foundational strength, was making me question, well, why are we doing what we're doing?
I'm with you.
Because took you that long to realize
this? It took a long time to realize that.
Yeah, all you have to do is just walk in any like CrossFit gym and see anybody trying to do a butterfly pull-up because it looks cool.
Yeah.
And it's sketchy as hell. Like, yeah. It looks...
Well, if you look at the original CrossFit prescription, it even said in that fitness in 100 words or less that you need to master the basics of handstand or master the basics of gymnastics
presses, before.
Yep, presses to handstands, flips, pirouettes. Well, there's not a whole lot of people in CrossFit. Well, maybe now people are starting to get into backflips and stuff like that. We're still, half of those are pretty sketchy looking. But presses to handstand, like I've been working for almost 6 weeks now on presses to handstand. I just got my first one today, but it took like a lot of practice and specific work to get to it that I had to do like strength progression similar to gymnastics bodies where you have to have that foundational strength.
Right.
And it's really made me realize that, you know, this, we have great progressions in CrossFit when it comes to weightlifting. Like we know you learn, most
hang
people learn
clean.
Like hang cleans before you learn full cleans. But when we go to do gymnastics, we, you know, flip straight upside down on the wall and start doing handstand pushups. So yeah.
You got a valid point.
Yeah.
It's just, I think people get so caught up in like the whole,
well,
time domain and capacity and then moving fast and doing stuff and then like just basically killing yourself as opposed to taking your time and then working,
yeah,
breaking stuff down.
Yeah, because the whole concept of mixing modalities, mixing gymnastics with weightlifting, with sprinting, you know, that's that original idea of CrossFit is awesome. And I feel like a lot of people benefit from it, but it's since you put time domains on it and there's a sport element involved, it's just... it's naturally going to evolve into just people doing things as fast as they can.
Well, and mostly what people see is the games on TV, so they don't know all the work that goes in,
yeah,
behind the scenes for those athletes to get where they're at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so like, they're thinking, oh, let me just go throw a pull-up bar in the basement
and start doing this.
Get my chin over it by whatever,
well, if you
means
look at,
possible.
Look at Camille, who won last year. She works under Sean Carlin from CF Gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times a year, she'll do just a straight gymnastics cycle. And she periodizes. She has gymnastic cycles. She has weightlifting cycles. And so she focuses on specific things, just like you did with your catalyst cycle. And, you know, she pulls everything together by the time it comes time for the open, the regionals, and the games. But a lot of people see, especially when they see people like Greg Glassman saying, just do main site CrossFit.
And they think, it's
and they think
that's
going to get them to the games.
Right.
But
you know what? On Monday, Tim's going to be doing handstand push-ups.
Flip them upside down. Let's go.
I'll pass out. I won't be able to lift myself up. I can't even do a pull-up.
Sink or swims. Get upside down.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. I should probably be able to do a pull-up first.
Just pass it.
That is kind of the,
I've never been able to do
swim.
A pull-up though my entire life. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that can be a goal for the end of this year, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
That'd be awesome.
Even in elementary school, never had the upper body strength to do a pull-up.
Huh. I couldn't do one through high school.
Really?
Really. Yeah. Couldn't do one until senior year of high school, like in the senior year of high school.
Man. crazy.
No joke. I'm not even kidding.
I'd always get a goose egg. You know when they do those tests in elementary school, yes. You know, I'd always get a goose egg on
middle school. That was like the most defeating thing ever. Yeah. The little
trying to do a
pull-up. Like, oh yeah. There'd be kids in my class that were doing like 10 pull-ups, and I'm like under a little bar on the ground doing ring rows. We actually had it was a square, and you could put four people under it, and they could do inverted pull-ups.
Oh, cool.
And that's what I did because I couldn't get up. Like I couldn't even get up. You know how they do like that hold yourself to the bar thing?
Yeah.
I couldn't even get up for that.
I could hold myself if I could start there. If I could start like this,
yeah, you had to jump up there.
Yeah, I had. If I could jump and hold myself, I'd be like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. In high school, I could maybe get one, and then my senior year, I got to a point where I could do more than one. But freshman, sophomore, junior, couldn't do one.
Wow.
I really don't recall, like, I don't know.
Your first pull-up.
I don't. I really don't. I honestly don't.
I recall my first handstand push-up. I went home. My brother, it was like 2007, 2008. I went home. My brother was like, can you do this? And he flipped up on the wall, and he did like two or three. And I was like, what the hell did you just do? Never seen it before. I never thought of it before. And I was like, I tried it. Couldn't do it. Tried it. Couldn't do it. Went back. A week later, I did it. I was pretty stoked about
it.
That's
pretty awesome.
And now everybody's doing it.
Yeah. For the most part. Also, everybody's doing it with their backs facing the wall, which is not the way you should learn them. Because you end up arching your back.
Mm. So That's true.
So you actually put your body in more of a position that is similar to an incline bench press. Because it doesn't matter what you do, your body always wants to turn everything into a bench press because it likes to push things forward. It's hard to push things up. So whenever you go feet up against the wall, you'll watch everybody get this big arch in their back. So they lose that core stability. Their butt muscles turn off, and their arms are kind of out in front of them at an angle. So they're doing more of an incline press. Whereas if you face belly to the wall and your actual stomach, thighs, feet, and nose are on the wall, and then you try a handstand push-up, you're going to cut your reps in a third if you can get one for most people. That's the way you should be doing them.
Well, to this day, I think my shoulder's jacked up from doing all the kipping doing all the butterfly kipping, pull-ups, handstand push-ups.
Yeah.
When I first started, because I didn't have a gymnastics background.
You just went straight into it.
Straight into it. And I was, you know, fortunate enough, strong enough to do some of this stuff, so just did it.
Just kind of powered through it.
Yep. Yeah. And I think my right shoulder is, it's something with my scap, like you were saying earlier, scapular strength, and it's only on the right side. Something's not there, though.
Yeah. Well, it's also hard to find, I mean, unless you work with a gymnastics coach.
Right.
I feel like there's a lot of CrossFit coaches who really get into learning how to teach the Olympic lifts, and there's a lot of them that can do it really well, but they know how to teach the CrossFit style of gymnastics, but a lot of them have trouble teaching like the basics of gymnastics. So I actually work with a gymnastics instructor, and she took me really back to the basics when it came to just scapular control, and was telling me, you know, that my, you know, bigger muscles, my triceps and chest and shoulders, are strong enough that I was kind of powering myself through these movements. Mm-hmm. But the reason I couldn't get these like finer gymnastics skills was because I lacked scapular control and flexibility. Which, when somebody tells me I lack flexibility, like, I'm one of the more flexible people I know. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm inflexible. I'm like, well, maybe compared to like the 6-year-old girls you work with. She's like, nah, even compared to the boys, you're kind of inflexible. But it was like gymnastics inflexible. So I started working on that. And then she gave me a bunch of stuff of actually like similar to gymnastics body with Christopher Sommer, is actually like working these scapular control things along with all the other handstand stuff.
Right.
And then I did the gymnastics body 30-day handstand.
I was
going
to say, didn't you do that?
Man, that completely rebuilt my handstand and allowed me to do a lot of other things. But it was actually, I mean, everybody needs coaches. But you need somebody who really knows what they're talking about when it comes to, you know, body control and body mechanics as a coach to actually explain these things. And, you know, CrossFit coaches are great, but they would do themselves a really good service if they really got into learning, you know, the absolute basics of building a gymnast body from the ground up.
And then go from there. Yeah. Coach Summer always talks about that. He can take a gymnast and turn him into an Olympic caliber, Olympic lifter, way quicker than he could take an Olympic lifter and turn him into a gymnast.
Yeah. Which is why I think it's so important for parents to, like, if they want to get their kids into other sports,
start with
gymnastics, guys and girls.
I'm with you 100% on that.
It's just the body control. I was in the gym the other day just playing around with some parkour stuff, some flips, and I look at this kid, and he's up on the parallel bars, and he's tiny. He looks like a like he's maybe 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so he's up on the parallel bars, and he's just holding himself like in a dip position, and he's walking like in a dip position, just walking up and down the bar. And the amount of control that that takes, and his body's completely straight. I was like, I did that. I used to teach in an adult's really beginner gymnastics class, and just having an adult hold themselves in a dip support and then try to walk, and they couldn't even do it. I mean, they would fall directly through. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And this kid's just going up and down like it's nothing.
I can scoot on my butt.
All right, well, we've taken a major turn left and gone off the CrossFit bandwagon a little bit.
we can just keep going.
Well,
we can go for it, because we were kind of talking a little bit about like focusing on things. You wanted to talk about, you know, taking time actually working on hypertrophy and why that's important.
Yeah.
So go.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is more of like, it's going to be another one of my rants, but like everyone's so obsessed with like...
No, not another Cody rant.
It happens. Everyone's so obsessed with like getting a summer body or doing this or doing that, and then you hear all these misconceptions, like women or even dudes will come in and be like, I want to tone muscle, but I don't want to get big, or I want to like turn my fat into muscle, or I want to do this. And there's like this huge misconception about how things kind of work, but then... kind of play into what Tim's doing now, how he's lifting weights twice a week. It's kind of important metabolically for his weight loss goal or his weight loss journey. And we can kind of talk about the things that, how like gaining muscle and how it corresponds to those things.
To be honest, I think that's part of why you're continuing to lose weight, even though the last 3 weeks may not have been the most beneficial in terms of exercise. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. What, the weightlifting?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, it's only twice a week.
He hates it. He absolutely hates it.
It's only twice a week, but just the two times a week probably increased the metabolism a little bit to help continue that weight loss that you're experiencing.
It's so painful.
Are you over the sore part?
Yeah, I'm over the sore part, but...
But he still hates it. You see his faces and, like, the way he just acts and... In between stuff, he's cussing, and he's just so mad.
Like, but I do it, don't I?
No, you do it. But the other day he comes in, he's like, yeah, I think I'm just going to do cardio today. He's
that was Thursday.
I'm not doing that weightlifting shit. I'm just not doing it. I was like, all right.
I wasn't in the mood for it, man.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you know, with the right mood.
Yeah,
huh?
But tell you what, that 40 minutes of cardio I did, I felt great afterwards.
See, I'm the opposite. I got to come into the right mood to try and run at all.
I loved it. I felt so relaxed afterwards. That sweat, it was great.
And we even had this discussion in the office because he was like, I used to hate the sweat. This was disgusting back when you first started. He was like, for some reason, the second time around, just
love it.
Relieves the stress, right?
When I feel it drip off the back, you know, my hair, and it drips down the back of your neck, love it. Because I feel like I'm actually doing something.
Nothing like breaking a good sweat.
Yeah. It's great.
Still been like a true distance kid.
Exactly. Taking it back to his track days now.
But no, the reason I kind of wanted to snowball into that is because it's like, I don't know, what is it, February? And then like June is in a few months and everyone's like so obsessed with that. And then we've all had random, what, not in a few, okay, more than a few months. Does that make sense? Like a few months? What's a few to you?
Three.
Really?
Three is a few.
What about four?
It's four.
Couple is two?
Couple two, few three.
Four is four, five is five.
So you tell someone you're going to be there in a couple minutes, you're going to be there in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be.
No, people say that all the time.
Well, minutes are different. They're treated different.
Look, damn it. June is months away. Okay? And this is like the time of year everyone, like the New Year's resolution, everyone's getting ready for the beach the summer, and everyone has all these misconceptions about how to build muscle or how to look a certain way because body image, everyone's kind of obsessed with it in a certain sense. And to kind of talk about, so I guess we can kind of go on how to actually do that or how to put on muscle, because a lot of guys don't really understand that. A lot of women don't understand that you can't tone muscle and then lose fat and all those other things, but the importance of it, that it plays on weight loss.
All right, so what's the most time-efficient way we could go about putting on muscle and aiding weight loss? What kind of workouts will we do?
What are we talking
about? We're hammering hypertrophy and building muscle and losing muscle mass. So if someone's in a time crunch and they only have so much, I don't know, what is it, 45 time. Minutes a day. Some of the people that come into the YMCA that are probably busy working and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how much time do they usually come in for? 30, 45 minutes?
Yeah, anywhere between that. Like, I would say 45 to an hour is what most people
45
give
to an hour. 2-3 times a week?
Yeah.
So if that's the situation, so you can what can people do to, let's say, just quick layout of how would you go about just doing a hypertrophy program and losing muscle mass.
Typically, just lose muscle mass. Typically, just like jack up the overall volume, but you can do supersetting. Or you could do multiple muscle groups within a day. And you can kind of just do like a push and a pull at the same time, or you could do just things that kind of counteract each other. It'll be less time consuming. You'll be moving most of the time.
Tim, what are you doing?
What?
Weights.
Oh, weights. I'm doing back squats, military press. What do you? I still don't know what you.
Back squats, military
row
press.
From the floor.
Bent over row.
Yeah, bent over row. Some lat pull downs.
So
and
it's
some curls.
All big movements. Yeah, you're not doing a lot of curls.
No,
stuff like that.
A little
bit
of curling at the end, but yeah,
if you
nothing.
Have time for it. Yeah,
yeah.
I always tell people just hammer, hit the big muscles, and then if you have time for the other stuff, do that. But if you're only coming in 3 days a week and you're trying to build muscle, I mean, on one hand, it's good because your muscle needs time to recover between workouts. It can't grow unless it's at rest. So that's one thing that helps about having those other days that you're not working out. On the other hand, I mean, you're only actually having the muscle under a stimulus three times. I would say you probably need to be doing full body workouts. You wouldn't want to do like a split, chest on one day, back on another day, legs on another day.
Some people do that, though.
Yeah, and some people do fine with it. Except for the majority of people, I just have them do full body. If people can do 4 or 5 days, then you would want to split it up.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it makes more sense. It's kind of how you get bigger, and like relatively speaking,
reps.
Just doing compound movements.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to get bigger. I mean, I'm going to make sure everybody understands my weightlifting's not about getting bigger.
No,
it's
but
about,
you're going to add on muscle mass.
No, right, but I'm not looking to bulk up, bulk up.
Yeah. Well, that's a misconception that we get from a lot of girls saying that they want to weightlift because they lift weights.
I just read an article about how it's really hard for girls because of the testosterone to even really bulk up if they do weightlifting.
Well, they have to lift for it, meaning do the right rep ranges in order to increase their growth hormone, but also they have to eat for it. And I know very few girls who are currently eating for mass. I mean, obviously, some girls have higher testosterone than other girls. Some girls put on muscle mass really easily, but the majority of them don't.
Yeah.
So when they start weightlifting, they'll definitely get stronger and they'll build some muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
But when we say muscle mass, we don't mean like huge muscles.
The
we
big
just mean,
bulk and yeah.
Yeah.
You're not looking like the Hulk or
yeah. Yeah. You're
toning.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear. You're toning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm toning.
But also, I mean. Lifting weights burns a lot of calories.
Yeah.
A lot more than people think it does. But also, it's going to increase your metabolism a little more with that. So you're going to be more metabolically active when you're not lifting.
And
so.
I like to think the cussing in between each lift helps burn a little bit more calories.
Probably. Yeah.
Sarah's not in an agree. And then you do your little walk in between lifts.
I do
too,
every because it's a minute rest, so I just walk around the gym real fast every minute.
A tiger pacing a cage.
Active rest.
That's right, active rest. Well, because I got to get steps in, man.
Right, exactly. Was there anything else you want to apply to that? I mean, the importance of doing some weights, full body. I was just thinking, if somebody's listening and thinking, okay, what should I do? Okay, full body. What kind of exercises? Maybe you can list out 5 exercises, and then maybe you could list like a rep range, sets, 3 sets of 8, 4 sets of 8, 3 sets. I don't know, whatever you were thinking.
Kind of already hit it. I mean, we can talk about compound movement. So Tim's squatting, Tim's doing overhead press. You can deadlift, bench press, do some type of pull, so a barbell row. Even like a pull-up to a certain degree is like a compound movement because it incorporates various muscle groups.
Right.
So instead of just focusing on like little small ones, like everybody wants to do bicep curls, well, that's fine. Do it at the end of a workout. But at the same time, work on the bigger things first because those are the things that are going to be pretty much a priority, but it's going to help you burn more calories in a sense because you're using these big movers as opposed to something really small. And then rep ranges, I mean, a lot of stuff, everything I've read is basically 8 to 12, but then the volume's higher, so it's 3 to 5 sets at the most and just kind of basically putting your muscle under tension. And this is all relatively speaking to that person. Like for someone like Tim, he's fine with doing 3 sets, but – if I were to do something, really, really wanted to get something out of it, probably bump it up to 4 or 5 for myself.
For you.
For me.
Right.
Just because you would need more time under tension with that. Whenever people ask me for programs and they're first getting to lifting, I just try to get them to learn that you need to push as much as you pull.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to push forward in front of your body, bench press, you also need to do seated row, something like that, bent over row. If you're going to pull down, so lat pull down or a pull up, you're also going to be pushing upwards, so military press, something like that. than when squatting. That's, I mean, a lot of posterior chain, back of your body, but also pretty quad dominant. So then you also need to be deadlifting.
Right.
So if you have those, you know, three different categories, your legs and then forward and then up and down, there's six exercises. So a lot of people that have, who are first getting into it, it's just six exercises in their workout. Yeah. And they do that three times a week. Mm-hmm. And their rep ranges then will be dependent on, you know, what their current volume is. If someone's first starting out, they're not going to be able to handle, you know, sets of heavy six or eight.
Right. It needs to be...
needs to be maybe 10, 12. Once they get used to it, then I'll take them down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I developed a program a while back where it was all based on time under tension. So I was using this thing called Preplin's chart, but it's been modified for hypertrophy. So it's basically taking the total amount of time that the muscle is under tension and breaking that into sets and reps with actual tempo. So then you're getting into, you know, how long is it taking you to lower the weight?
Right.
How long are you pressing up? How long is the muscle under tension? So that would be for somebody that was like a lot more advanced who, you know, maybe they had plateaued on the, one of those programs, and now we can get into the minutia of, you know, actually how long your muscles are under tension. But, I mean, whatever...
Anybody can Google. Yeah. Google. I was thinking Prelipin while I was saying Google, so I said Google. Prelipin's chart, and it pops up. I haven't seen the one with time or intention, but I know I use the actual chart itself because there's like four or five different versions of it.
Yeah.
For class. So if anybody's curious.
It was Prelipin's for hypertrophy.
Okay.
And it was some guy. He posted it on Testosterone Nation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really good chart that took, you know, sets, reps, optimal rep range, and tempo, and nice. I was able to adapt that for one of them. But a good example of like of the difference between guys and girls, I had a mass program that I did personally that I, you know, I ate for mass while I did it, and I made the weights pretty heavy, and I was able to gain it was an 8-week program, and I gained about 6 pounds on it. And Thomas's wife Sarah did the same program. Sarah, how much did you gain any weight doing my program?
No.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, there's two people. We were doing the same thing, different body types, different weights.
She wasn't eating for mass.
Different diet. She wasn't eating for mass. And arguably, she wasn't doing the workout the same as I had planned it.
Nope.
I'd come in and be like, what are you doing? That's not what I said to do.
Modified.
I don't like this. I'm not going to do that.
I always did my way.
Yeah.
Yep, she did her way.
Sarah's always about her way.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but still a hypertrophy program, a lot of people want to shy away from it because they don't want to get big.
Right.
It's just a type of training that is good to mix in with your cycle. It's good to train for strength. It's good to train for power. Mm-hmm. It's good to train for hypertrophy. And it's good to kind of mix those things up.
And that's where the science gets in, the periodization and taking things into a grander perspective besides, all right, what am I going to do in the gym today?
Yeah.
Well, let's do a 30-minute WOD where I'm going to kill myself and I want to shoot myself in the head afterwards.
It also goes back to planning with a purpose. Like having a purpose, and that's just basically your end goal. So like me doing that front squat cycle, it's not hypertrophy training, but I knew at the end of the cycle, okay, I have to do a 1-rep max front squat, and then you're improving on it. But these things are building blocks upon that, and there's always a goal, like a light at the end of the tunnel. It's like a goal that you're working towards. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They just kind of go into a gym, and they're like, well, I'm going to do this, but I don't know how. But then it's okay, so why don't you sit down with someone, plan it out, find a purpose, and figure out why you're actually doing it, kind of peel back the layers and figure out exactly, okay, this is why I'm doing this for this reason, as opposed to just going in blindly and being like, I'm working out today, and it's hard, and it sucked. So that was good.
Yeah.
You go, Cody.
Thanks, Tim. Oh, my God, can we talk about Instagram?
Where are we at on time?
Maybe on the next podcast.
To be continued. Because
he like reminded me about guys and girls, and like this whole like this thing is like set me off. Like,
what are you getting set off about?
All right, Thomas knows, but we're not going to talk about it.
So there's your three things: squatty potty, Instagram, and XO bars.
Yeah. Crickets.
Next time,
crickets. On the next time,
on the next podcast.
Make sure I'm here for that squatty potty.
So, all right. Well, yep. So we're back. Hopefully, a little bit more regular schedule.
Hopefully, more frequent now.
Yeah, more frequent.
Life happens.
Yeah, life happens.
Thank you, Johnny, for coming in.
Yeah,
again.
Thanks,
always
Johnny, for coming in.
Thank you.
Always giving your insight. It's always great. And we'll catch you all next time. Peace out.